Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guests today are Bill Screef and Todd Reinhardt. They are the founders of Dead Lizard, which is a creative advertising agency, advertising marketing agency with offices in Roseland. Todd and Bill, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. The first thing I wanted to start with is the origin story of Dead Lizard. With a name like that, obviously, I'd like to start to hear how you two got together and what the process was of putting the firm together.
Well, it's actually quite a funny story. Bill and I have been working together since the early 90s, and we're both graduates of Syracuse University.
Okay.
We got hired into a company here in New York. At that time they did a lot of digital kind of sales kind of presentation work for companies like IBM and Aptiva. I don't know if you guys remember like CompUSA back in the day, but
Sure.
You go there, you can see all the little kiosks they have running. We did that sort of stuff. But we started working together there, and we ended up developing a software package that actually competed at the time with Director and PowerPoint. It was a custom package that we coded and built, and Bill and I were in charge of basically the creative arm, right? So we had our software group that did all the application development, and then we did all the design work and used it to make basically encyclopedia type projects for, companies like Hilton and, where they could show all of their amenities and all of their hotels, or we did an interactive dossier for James Bond that was an encyclopedia of all the different James Bond movies and all that kind of fun stuff, a lot, really
yep,
fun
with
project.
To GoldenEye.
Yep.
So. Okay.
Eventually we ended up running up against a larger internet conglomerate at the time in the 90s there called IXL, which they didn't like losing to us in these pitches, so they decided to purchase the company, and so we got merged in there. It was a crazy wacky time, right? We had a whole bunch of there were about four or five companies that the parent company had purchased. They threw us all into one office floor on Fifth Avenue around Union Square and said, work it out, basically. And so we did, and eventually they really wanted to go the route of doing large enterprise portal kind of engagements with larger businesses. So like the stuff we had developed, they really had no use for this, software package. So Bill and I chatted with several other people there that were from our original company, and we decided to purchase rights to the software and spin it out.
Okay.
And we did that, when was that? It was in
99.
Okay.
And so actually, the code name for the software that was being developed was actually powered by Iguana.
Nice.
And so when we actually spun out, we took about, 30 to 35 people, and we got an office space down at 14 Wall Street, and we started Iguana Interactive. And we did that just as, the internet just was booming and everyone was looking for an opportunity to make a lot of money on some kind of internet or new technology firm. And so we had actually gotten venture capital from a Canadian VC group. And I think they quickly realized that they didn't quite understand the business, because they were more about restructuring just brick and mortar companies.
Okay.
And not dealing with new business. And then we had the real great opportunity to work with some much larger clients. So we still had been working with Hilton, British Airways, and actually NFL. But come the internet bubble burst back in 2001, they were deciding it's time to get out. And so we had to shutter. But a lot of our clients, because the way Todd and I work is not just loving the creative work that we do, but it's really establishing really good relationships. It's kind of just for us was the natural way to do business. And so the NFL had actually come back to us and said, listen, we want you guys to wrap up this work for us. And we're like, you do realize that we're closing our doors. And they went, no, we understand that. We want to work with you guys, but we're going to need you to reincorporate. So because they didn't want to work with just anybody with, you know, working out of a garage. So Todd and I then just started Dead Lizard out of Iguana Interactive.
Okay.
And we were able to work with the NFL. And then we had, it just, it's very interesting how all the relationships are very viral. So we ended up working our way into NBC. So we actually, we had been working with like Bravo and Sci-Fi, NBC News, entertainment, sports. We really started to get just like really deep into that company. And then also working with, actually at the time it was Buena Vista. So it was a syndicated branch of Disney. But we still actually have relationships with all those people that we started with over 20 years ago. So it's just interesting that, you know, Todd and I, though we were working with a software company, we still, our love is the creative. And we said, let's just stick with what we do. You know, that no way around it. Just, it's a lot of fun toys that you can play around with to create this great creative work. And it's also, it's not just one thing that we do. So we ended up doing mostly, I would say, sales and marketing presentations for the media and entertainment companies.
Okay.
But through other contacts, it became, you know, like Todd's actually worked on out of home billboard and subway and bus ads, you know, just working with some of these national campaigns. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of motion graphic work, especially for like upfront events.
Okay. All right. Well, you've both touched on what my next question was going to be, and that is what differentiates your firm from others. I'm hearing the kind of relationships that you have, and some of the, and the sort of the focus of the work that you do. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. So give us a little sense of why Dead Lizard is different from others.
Yeah. No, I think that's at our core, Jeff. I think we are really a relationship based kind of organization. You know, creative solutions, they're all about communication, right? You know, you don't have creative if you can't communicate artwork and design. So it's kind of core to our being, but we also are very much centered on developing long-term relationships. And Bill and I kind of, I guess we were just baked that way, Bill, I don't know. But, you know, we really approach every project not as an individual project, but as an opportunity to develop a long-term partnership. And we've got a very good track record with doing that. You know, so we try and it's helpful. You know, like what we do, a lot of times we come in as a brand consultant, and we help with tactics and strategy in terms of advertising and marketing. We plug into existing marketing teams. So it's actually really important that we understand the brand that we're working with and kind of internalize their syntax and how they chat about everything. So that really, we like these clients we've had for 20 odd years, like Disney, and they can send us an email like, hey, I need an e-blast for this event. And we're like, okay, we know exactly what that means. You know, it's like, it's not, we don't need a full creative brief. We actually know that, you know, we've worked with you guys for so long. We know what you need. We know how to do it. And it becomes a very efficient process. And a lot of times we end up kind of working as an out-of-house, in-house design firm.
Okay.
So we kind of plug in, and this is one of the ways we plug in with Disney in particular, is that we plug in directly into their creative solutions department that services the entire portfolio. So whenever they have needs that they have trouble, you know, it's hard to have a small group of people service, you know, how many networks. So, you know, we end up being a group that is intimately aware and acquainted with their brands. So that they can just easily say, okay, we're working on X, Y, and Z, you know, process right now with these summits coming up, but we don't have time for this push on that National Geographic. Can you guys do this work? And we kind of, you know, just kind of work with them, you know, week to week, day to day, in terms of helping out.
All right.
And actually, even when it comes to relationships, we've only once actually had a it was like a postcard campaign of just like new business development back in 2002. And that was the last time, and everything else has been referrals and based on our relationships. So it's, I think that's a good differentiating factor. And I think it's also, I don't know, and especially with a lot of the relationships that we have, it's been great because there's a lot of times where Creative Shop can be pigeonholed with, they just do presentations. And we've really, now we've made some inroads with production studios that are creating new content for, you know, either History Channel or Food Network, or even like Vizio is creating new content right now. And we actually work with them to create their motion graphics packages and their brand identity systems. So, you know, with the logo and creating their title page or their title sequence, lower thirds, all that kind of stuff, still doing presentations. And then also, you know, working with creating motion graphics, like I said earlier, for different events. And it really is amazing that once you really understand the tools that are available, you know, especially that Adobe has an application for everything, you know, there's an app for that, that we're able to really facilitate all of these different kinds of creative needs.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned some of your clients, you mentioned Disney. You've also worked with the Weather Channel, Tribeca Film Festival. I'm curious if there's one project that is your favorite or that exemplifies the kind of work that you do. You don't have to name the client if you don't want to. I'm just interested in what you see as sort of a model for what folks should realize that you guys do.
Well, I think really our bread and butter, Jeff, it is kind of the ad sales marketing collateral materials that we supply to our media entertainment clients. So I would say probably stuff that most exemplifies what we do is probably the work we do with Disney. You know, because they do hit us on pretty much every aspect. You know, we do digital, email marketing, print, event support, video, you know, all that kind of stuff. And all of that gets, you know, spread around, you know, all their initiatives for ad sales. So like we actually go in and, I don't know, we've been doing this since what, Bill, 2013. We basically go in and work on site with them at their major upfront event every year and develop the graphics package. So, you know, these upfront events, they all the networks go out and they try to sell 75 to 85% of their overall ad inventory for the year. And they have these huge, you know, big shows. So like all the video, the graphics and stuff that goes up on the screens and stuff like that, that's what we help out with for that event, you know. But then we can also work on the posters, you know, all these other things that may be there, all the presentations that then flow out of that in terms of what they take, what the individual salespeople might take for individual meetings outside of the main event, and stuff like stuff along those lines. But, you know, that is the bread and butter. But then we also have a bunch of projects that we really are quite passionate about, and they let us step out of that kind of area, right? Where, because ad sales and marketing, it's a rail that you're on. And then there's a whole bunch of, you know, constraints and things that you have to follow and do. But we just a year ago, we got to work on our first feature film. So we did an indie film called Good Egg, which is just got distribution, is in the process. It's doing the circuit with, you know, Tribeca and everybody all over the place. And we got to, and we ended up helping out with them by doing all of their visual effects work and the title sequence. And that was a lot of fun because, you know, those sorts of jobs where we're dealing with, you know, original programming, original content, it's nice to be able to have work that's being done for the sake of the art, right? That's for the sake of the narrative or the story, as opposed to saying, okay, we have this really cool sizzle reel we need you to do, but you know what? We got to sell to women 18 to 54, you know, and all that, with all those other prerequisites in there, right, that we need to hit or whatever. And you can just say, you know what, this is the piece. It needs to talk to this. And we really get to kind of hit it out of the park and have fun with it. And Bill and I both have backgrounds in illustration traditionally. So, you know, like we get to utilize, like, for that title sequence, we got to hand illustrate all of the title sequence, which was a lot of fun.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I have to ask you about doing business in New Jersey. The state has a lot of advantages and disadvantages, costs being the biggest disadvantage. What's it like running, operating here, and why are you here?
That's an interesting story, because I think it all started back with Katrina.
Okay.
Because I had actually come out to New Jersey, and I've been living in Livingston now for quite some time, raising my family here. And at the beginning, when Todd and I were working together and keeping it very small, I was actually just freelancing or not freelancing, working out of my home and having a home office there. But then when Katrina hit, our area got hit really badly. So we were without power, I would say, for 2.5 weeks. And wow. That you really need to be productive even during those quote unquote dark times. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is right next door, we've got Roseland, and they've got some really great office campuses. And so right now we're based out of Roseland, right off of 280 and Eisenhower Parkway.
Sure.
And, you know, with all the lines being submerged so that there weren't any down power lines, the lights were on. So I actually then started working out of offices here, and I've been in this current building now for the past, my gosh, it must be about, it's over 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
And it's a great area just because it's very accessible. If you want to catch the train, it's 10 minutes down the road to Orange. You can just zip into the city. We've actually had a lot of our New York, most of our clients are New York City based,
right.
But a lot of them actually really do enjoy coming out here, working on site, or just
surprising number,
shocking number.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think now, especially after COVID, everyone's like, "Oh, I don't have to be at the office." And we actually have one client who comes here like once every other week and works here during the day, and we are able to work together on some of the more like just intensive projects, and you know, still doing your regular day-to-day stuff while they're busy and doing their conference calls. So so that's been great. And originally we were incorporated out of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out you really shouldn't incorporate like that. It just for tax purposes, et cetera. So we formally moved out to Jersey, because that's just, it's a better deal. And another great reason why we're actually here in Jersey is that we are kind of centrally located. So between Todd, who is based out of Brooklyn, we have our office here, and then we have our design director will drive in twice a week from Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So luckily, he really likes to drive.
Well, it can be fun.
Yep.
Yeah, and we did kind of we had a distributed workforce before it was cool, you know, with everybody doing it with COVID. So we kind of, it was odd that we didn't have a whole lot of changes that way. But yeah, we kind of felt, went that route, Jeff, right? Where it's like, okay, financially, this is kind of silly. You know, we're a small group. If we're incorporating in New York, it just seems, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, if we had a large group where we had, you know, prime, you know, commercial real estate that made sense in the city, but we weren't, you know. So we did end up moving out by Bill, because he was already at the, you know, the space over there. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, you know, it's a really good base of operations out there in Jersey. And we kind of wanted, we didn't see a whole lot of other companies like ourselves that are operating out there in that mm-hmm. way. And there's a lot of talent in Jersey that, yeah. You know, just gets poached, really. It just, you know, moves off to Manhattan,
right.
Or whatever. And, you know, so we've actually done a lot of our focused kind of hiring, you know, through colleges and other, you know, internship kind of stuff, as well as, you know, just generally looking at people living around the area. so that we can get, you know, Jersey artists working at the Jersey office, which just seems to make sense to us.
Well, and that's what I was curious about, was whether you actually have the workforce available to you. I think the common perception of people who are creative like that want to be in Manhattan or want to work in Manhattan. Yeah. But what I hear you saying is that that hasn't been a problem for you.
Well, but we're going to be real. There it's not a non-challenge. There's definitely a draw with New York City, and by far there are much more jobs, you know, available out there. Mm-hmm. So it is a strong competitive factor. But I think there's a niche there, right? You know, there's a niche for, you know, some of the very talented people that are out there in Jersey that's not the draw of New York is not necessarily outweighed by the fact that, you know, they could have, you know, a business right here in their backyard that, you know, that's working with Disney, that's working with, you know, all these
Scripps and names, Time Warner.
Scripps and Weather Channel and has all the A-list kind of clientele that you'd find in your typical agency in Manhattan. You just don't have to go to Manhattan every day.
Especially after COVID. I think a lot of people, you know, there was that a bit of an exodus and, you know, then offering to say, hey, you don't have to do that crazy commute every morning now, that there is another option.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that was, I guess, was the other factor is that, you know, it's not just creative people who don't want to get on New Jersey Transit every day or fight the traffic that, you know, lots of folks have decided that it's actually better to get in my car and go have a parking lot where I can, you know, don't have to walk, maybe not even go up in an elevator or anything like that. So,
right.
Okay. Now, the Murphy administration and their economic development folks have been made a concerted effort to try to bring television and movie production to New Jersey to sort of build that industry up. Does that help you at all? Or are you optimistic about where that's going?
It might. You know, like a lot of the production companies that we plug into, Jeff, you know, they do most of the video shoot and all that kind of planning. And then we come in and work on the post work. So the graphics development and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're not as tied to the geographic, you know, shooting location mm-hmm. as much, you know, because we can really work with anyone. Sure. If there are more productions happening in Jersey, you know, that would definitely be something that we could lean into. Although I can't say that we've seen an uptick yet in those types of jobs. But we would certainly take advantage of that should, you know, that start to materialize. But yeah, you know, it's like if we were, you know, actually going out and working with, you know, networks and directors and stuff in the sense of, you know, getting location, doing all the video shoots. And whereas we can do that and we have facilitated it, we recognize that that's not our bread and butter. You know, normally when we do that, we come in and we kind of shoot for a particular piece as opposed to, like, let's say a series or a movie. You know, so it's generally much kind of smaller insertion point than I think a lot of these incentives are really trying to target.
Okay. So given that, where is what's next for you? Where is the growth going to come from for Dead Lizard? How do you see the future?
Actually, we are working with a sales and market, or actually a marketing PR firm right now, and have been for the past almost 2 years now, that we've really, we want to make a decidedly different change in how we're approaching things. For a very long time, Todd and I wanted to keep things very lean and mean, keeping budgets down. But we're really looking for, I mean, we've been able to last for 20 plus years now, and we're really looking at the longevity of the company. Mm-hmm. And so we're making some new business inroads. So we really do want to bring on, you know, much more, like, before we worked with a lot of freelancers, contractors, and now we want
another small business
staff. And just as a small business, just financially, it's amazing when it comes to healthcare coverage or just many other benefits that you need to kind of hit that 5-person or 10, more likely 10-person limit. And then suddenly things become a lot more economically feasible. but I would probably say are like we would like to get to that 10 person size within the next 1 to 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So we really are looking at growth. And now actually, you know, I don't know if we'll do a postcard, you know, campaign, but we definitely are doing some more like real true new business development.
All right. So, and that sounds more like organic to me rather than acquisitions. Is that where you're going?
Yes. Okay. No, that is fair. Yeah. We'd like to grow organically and add, you know, people on as we, you know, kind of determine the growth pattern that would be best, Jeff. But yeah, it's kind of, and we're having all the same struggles that all small businesses have, right? It's like the chicken and the egg with sales versus growth. You know, we have all of our creative staff, but we need managerial staff as well. So, you know, where do you invest first? You know, and we're kind of going through that and really working through a plan here at the moment to see the best way to get to the target of getting, you know, that 10 plus area and just really getting a much more, you know, broadly based and solid kind of organization to work with a bunch of resources that really allow us to springboard into facilitating much larger jobs and many more concurrently parallel jobs as well.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would just say like one also, like it's not a strange point, but it's, you know, relationships not only work for our clients, but it's also, we also wanted to decidedly have control over this. What's the culture of the company? And so rather than merging and acquiring someone else, we really do want to find the right people that are the good fit. And we've been very lucky right now with the people that we do have on staff right now, that it's just, lack of a better term, just really good people.
Okay. All right. And finally, before I let you go, I'm curious as to your assessment of the economy now and going into next year, marketing and advertising, PR, those sorts of things, those expenses tend to be one among the first that a lot of companies pull back on. Are you concerned at all about the future? Are you optimistic? What are you planning for over the next, say, 18 months?
Well, I think we are, you know, honestly, Jeff, coming out of, at this point, I'm kind of the opinion, if we made it through COVID, you know, we got to be somewhat optimistic at least, right?
Right.
So, because that was a struggle.
Okay.
And coming back out of it, you know, our clients, it's interesting because, you know, there have been definitely shifts in money. Everybody is more conservative right now. A good chunk of our clients have pulled back on their ad spend and right. their marketing spend, like everybody, right?
Right.
So that's kind of dovetailing also with how we're approaching kind of new sales biz and how we're going to kind of grow that kind of area as well. But it is, I don't know. And honestly, the particular subset of advertising and marketing that we're in, which is media and entertainment, is also right. facing its own kind of existential crisis at the moment.
That's for sure.
You know, with streaming and it's just like the intense, you know, fragmentation that has happened of the audience. So everybody is kind of, all of our clients are really scrambling and trying to figure out how to navigate that. You know, the good news is that I don't think you're actually going to see quite as much of a hit in the advertising and marketing in kind of the groups that we deal with in media and entertainment as you may have seen in other industries.
Okay.
Simply because it is the bread and butter for them, right? You know, it's kind of like,
you know,
it's not BMW where they're selling cars too, you know? Right. You know, it's like either they get ad money or they don't get money, you know? And now that all the streamers are pretty much have ad tiers at this point, right? You know, the subscription models or only models seems to generally be, you know, a thing of the past, you know, like, I don't think of any large, you know, any of the big streamers at this point that is purely subscription only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll have to see how that kind of shakes out and how that goes. But in that end, you know, ultimately all those people still need materials to be able to go out and pitch and make their sale. It's definitely changed, right? You know, there's been a massive shift towards digital. You know, and I think a huge part of that was precipitated by the pandemic because mm-hmm. people just were at home and they realized, hey, I have nothing to do but stream. So let's, you know, do all this sort of stuff. And it really shifted behavior, viewing behavior. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we've, through our Disney clients, you know, we've been able to work with Hulu and, you know, and we've done branded content kind of development with companies like Tumblr and stuff like that as well, to help with their ad revenue and develop kind of tactics and strategies where they can develop money on social platforms. So it's like there is kind of a spread there in terms of how we're kind of balancing things out. But to that end, yeah, we are balancing and kind of spreading out a bit to try to help account for, you know, the serious changes that are happening kind of in linear entertainment and media entertainment in general. it's a dicey situation right now, but I think we're hanging on pretty well, and we've got a good, you know, the relationship building really does help. You know, when you really do work as a partner, and know that, you know, you try to develop a collaborative environment with your clients so that they know you're on their team and you have their best interests at heart. You know, that does help in terms of keeping things going and keeping lines of communication open.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Bill Screef and Todd Reinhart, Dead Lizard co-founders, thank you very much for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time.
And again, thank you for having us.
It was our pleasure, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Great. Thanks.